Going to look at verses 89 to 96. Psalm 119, verses 89 to 96. Going to look tonight at, of course, we've been in Psalm 119 for the past few weeks, and looking at the Word of God, the written Word of God. And tonight we're going to look at the eternal, unchanging Word of God. And that's found in verse number 89. And we're going to look at our mindset towards the Word of God and the fact that it is settled in heaven. And we're going to look at that tonight. So before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace towards us. Father, we count it an honor and a privilege to be able to be called your children. We thank you for accepting us Lord, the fact that we can be here tonight, Father, we're thankful for it. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight just as we look at your word. Father, we pray that you'd help us to get a blessing from it and that it would strengthen us, Father, because we are weak and we need help from you. And we pray that we'd be edified and built up in the faith because of it, and to help us and give us understanding of your word. Help us to know what it is that you're trying to tell us in the word tonight, and we'll thank you for it. We love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read verses 89 to 96. The title of the message, of course, comes out of verse number 89. But then we will springboard from there and go through the rest of the verses all the way down to verse 96. And we will put some flesh on these bones here. He says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine. Save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad." Those are wonderful words there from the psalmist. Do you believe this evening that the Word of God is already settled? Do you believe that? Or does it change with the circumstances? Does it change with the culture? Does it change, or is it already settled? Your response to that and your belief in that is going to affect your relationship with God and your relationship with others in a very significant way. You can't get around it. I mean, if you think that the Word of God changes with the culture or changes with your beliefs or changes in those ways, well, then it's going to affect the way that you behave and the way that you trust God and your relationships with other people. I was looking at these words or these verses here about the unchanging Word of God. And as I was meditating on them and looking through them, I was reminded about some things that I had said in the past and some words that I had written. I don't know about you, but I like to write notes in my Bible and things like that, and that's a good practice to get into. It's a good thing to do. I've written a lot of things. Used to write notes for class and all kinds of things, and every once in a while you go back and you look at those notes, you're reading through the Bible, and you see what you thought or what God was speaking to you in that moment or what you thought about those verses, and it kind of reminds you. It's a good thing to do. But this has been years ago. This is, you know, this is things I wrote years ago in my Bible. And I look at those things and I think, you know, what was I thinking there? That's not exactly right. You know, I've grown a little bit. I've I've matured a little bit in the faith, and I look at that and I think, well, I think you're a little bit off there, Jeff. You know, the understanding was a little bit premature there. And so I think, man, I'm glad I wrote those in pencil, because now I can erase it. But some of them are written in pen, so now I have to just sit there and look at it and say, well, there it is. I don't want to scribble it out and make big blobs in my Bible or anything like that. And I look at things I've said in the past, the lessons that I've written, and I think, well, you know, I was just a little bit off there, you know, and I kind of cringe. I kind of think, could have done a little bit better there. And it's challenged me to be more careful about what I say about God in the future. Because, as the dad said on Wednesday night, I'm going to be held accountable for what I say. It's a very sobering thought to think that I am telling people what God says. I'm teaching people what God says. And I'm representing God. And I'm going to be held accountable for the things that I say about God. I don't want to misrepresent God. I don't want to misrepresent what God says. That challenges me to be more careful about what I say. You can't just go off half-cocked and start blurting stuff out. You know, I've done that before, and I cringe, and I think, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. But thankfully, God is merciful, and He's still using me. He hasn't struck me dead or taken me out of not teaching anymore. Thank God for that. But did you know that God doesn't need an eraser? He doesn't look back and think, man, I wish I wouldn't have said that. He doesn't have to say that. He doesn't have to think that. Okay. Jesus Christ in His ministry didn't have to do that. He didn't misspeak. He didn't say things that, man, he said, just wish that He wouldn't have said. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Amen.
When He spoke, it was the right thing to say at the right time. Same way with God the Father. He doesn't think about things and say, well, I wish I wouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to go through that. So we can find security and safety in the knowledge of that. That God's Word is eternal and that it's secure.
Amen.
We can put our faith and trust in that. That God's not going to renege on His promises and balk back and say, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. We can do that. I realize He's done that in the Bible, but that's not what I'm talking about. That's not the kind of thing that I'm talking about here. Last week, we ended our message with the fact that we can draw great comfort from the fact that we know what's going to happen in the future because the Bible says so. It gives us that security. So these verses magnify the certainty of the Word of God. Everything originates, begins, and ends with the Word of God. Time, space, reality, everything that you know begins and ends with the Word of God. There's a couple of aspects that we see in the text about the Word of God. We see its eternality, it's eternal. And we see the faithfulness of the Word of God. We see both of those things in this text. First thing I want you to notice is that it's settled in heaven. The headquarters of God's kingdom, that's where it's settled. The Word of God comes forth from heaven. Do you realize the Word of God that you have, it came forth and originates in heaven? And it's settled in heaven, and there's nothing that you or I can do about that and stop it and change it. It's settled in heaven. What God has settled and determined in heaven is carried out and accomplished. Wow. In heaven, the third heaven.
Amen.
And only that, it's eternal. It says, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. The Word of God is eternal. It doesn't change with the times. It doesn't matter what society does in the United States of America. God's not saying, well, I better change up the Bible so I can make it fit what the Americans are thinking nowadays because they have changed their mind, and so therefore I must pander to them. No, God doesn't do that. It's eternal.
Amen.
God said it, and that settles it. You know, you've seen the bumper sticker maybe, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, God said it, and that settles it right there. God's a king. As a matter of fact, if David wrote this, well, he's a king and he knows what he's talking about because where the word of the king is, there's power and it goes forth. So it's settled. The certainty of it. It's unmovable. It's steadfast. It's sure. It's certain. It's fixed. It's unchanging. That's the Word of God that we have. The Word of God settles everything. Shouldn't that do something for us? Shouldn't that propel us or motivate us to do something? How does that change your life? I mean, you can't get a hold of those facts and it not do something in your life, in your mind. You can't just be, so what? I don't see how that you can do that. The psalmist didn't. The psalmist didn't sit there and say, it's settled in heaven, so I think I'm going to go ahead and go on my merry way and live my life. God's up there somewhere. I guess he'll get a hold of me when he needs me. He didn't do that. He said, wow, this is really affecting me because of what he wrote in the next few sentences. Let's look at those things, okay? Let's look at three qualities that the unchanging, eternal Word of God should produce in the people of God. Number one, it should produce trust in the future. Number two, it should produce perseverance in affliction. And number three, it should produce complete surrender. If those facts and those truths are hitting home in your heart and in your soul, it's going to change you. First, trust for the future. It says in verse 90 and 91, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. He says, thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. He says, because your word is eternal and it abides forever, I know that you're going to be faithful in the future, and I can trust you, Lord. Because your word is settled in heaven, I know that things will keep on going and that you are in control of those things. Amen. He says, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Amen. He said, from this generation to the next generation to the next generation, I know that God will be faithful because your word is settled in heaven and I can trust you for that future. Do you believe that here this evening? That God is the one who sustains everything. God is the one who established the earth by his power. He made the earth with his word, and he brings it into the future, and he sustains it. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 3 says that he made the worlds by the word of God, and that he is upholding all things by the word of his power. The reason that the earth is still floating and spinning on its axis and the sun has not fallen out of the sky and Jupiter is still up there and Mars is still up there and we still have air to breathe, and that the reason that we're still here is because of the Word of God. And we can trust it. Do you trust the Word of God for the future? The Word of God is settled in heaven and everything will continue from generation to generation. He says, I can trust God because the word is settled in heaven. Heard a story about a Scottish student in a university, and she was rooming with an old aunt of hers. And boy, she was so excited when she came back from school class one day. She said she was learning Greek, and she asked her aunt, she says, you know that verse in Hebrews that you so often quote, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. She says, well, I found out in my Greek class today that there are five negatives in Greek. And it actually reads like this in that verse. I will never, 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 never leave thee. You know what her aunt said? She said, well, one of them is good enough for me because he has said, I will never leave thee. So we may boldly say, I will not fear. She said, hey, the word of God is good enough for me. I don't need five nevers. One's good enough for me. I can trust God in the future because God is trustworthy, because God is faithful, and because his word is settled in heaven, I can trust him in the future. God holds tomorrow in his hands. And when we trust his word, we are trusting that God holds tomorrow. Can you trust someone who doesn't keep their word? No, of course not. But God keeps his word every time. The Bible says about God that God cannot lie. Amen. He can't. It's impossible for him to lie. Amen. And so we can trust him with our very souls. We can trust him. He
He's faithful to keep his word and to perform it. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 23 and verse number 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Yes, he will. He's not like a man. He doesn't go back on his promises. He keeps his promises, and he keeps his word. He will not lie, and he cannot lie. But yet man does that so many times, don't they? Don't keep their word like they ought to. God has spoken the world into existence, and we can trust God that he will bring it to completion. After the flood, God the Father spoke to Noah in Genesis chapter 21 and 8, verses 21 and 22, and he says, I will not again smite the earth anymore with a flood. And he says, while the earth remaineth, summer and winter, spring and harvest, seed time, all of those seasons will continue until the end of time. So we can trust God that the earth will be able to sustain life until the end. Why? Because God said it. That's why. Amen. The earth, we will be able to inhabit it forever. Forever. We can trust that the future of the planet is in God's hands. It's settled. What about your salvation here this evening? Can you trust God with the future of your salvation? He promised you eternal life. Do you believe that he'll give it to you in the end? Or is he a liar? Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples in John chapter number 10, and he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's in the future. He says they will never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. How about that for future security of your salvation? God has given it to you, and he's going to complete it all the way to the end. He's never going to let you go. He's never going to leave you alone. He's never going to stop working on you for the rest of your life. How about that for eternal security? He's promised you a promise, and you can trust him with the future. From generation to generation to generation, you can trust God with your future. Because the word of God is eternal and unchanging, we can trust God. It's settled. And if we can trust God for the future and everything, we can be steadfast. Number two, in the midst of affliction. Hey, we got problems right now, don't we? We got troubles that we're going through right now, don't we? Do you know you can trust God in right now, in this time in your life? Whatever you're going through, you can trust God and trust his word, and you can go to his word, and you can find comfort and security in his word. Verses 92 to 93 says, unless thy law had been my delights, listen carefully, I should then have perished in mine affliction. His heart. He says, I will never forget thy precepts. For with them thou hast quickened me. He says, I'm never going to forget your word. Why? Because you, God, have quickened me with your word. He says, I'm never going to forget that. And right now, in my present afflictions, I can trust God because of his word. The law of God was implanted and cemented into the mind and the heart of the psalmist. And he says, right now, I can find security and help in my afflictions because of the word of God. It was in his heart because it was his delight. And he says, I will never forget that. I will never forget. He loved it with his heart, and he remembered it with his word. I mean, with his mind. If the law of God had not been the delight of the psalmist, if he had not loved it the way that he did, he would have perished. But it was in his heart. He would have met a bitter end and died without hope. And he remembered it with his mind. He says, it's in my mind. Is the word of God implanted in your mind and in your heart? When things go bad in your life, where do you go? What comes up in your mind? is it worry, anxiety, or is it the Word of God? The psalmist says, I have been quickened, made alive, revived. That's what propels me forward in the times of affliction. It was the Word of God. He says again in Psalm 119:25, he says, My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples in John chapter number 6, and not only his disciples, but other people who were following him. And he was talking to them, and they could not understand what he was saying. They were being confused about what he was saying. And he said unto them, in verse number 63, he says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. He says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. There were disciples there that were not believing on Jesus Christ. And he says, you better listen to my words, because it is the words that quickeneth. Do you know what happened to those disciples? They walked away. They said, I will not follow you anymore. You know what Jesus Christ said to his disciples? He says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said to his disciples, will you also go away? You know what they said back to him? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. The Word of God quickens us. It makes us alive. And that's what was going on with the psalmist here. He says, they're in my mind, and I've been quickened. I've been made alive, and I'm going forward. I'm going to be able to persevere in the midst of affliction because of God's word. We need to reconcile some things here. We know from the scriptures that God is faithful to us forever. But listen, sometimes we can grow cold, can't we? Our hearts can grow cold. We can forget about what the Word of God has to say, and we forget about God's goodness toward us. We just learned how God is faithful. He's never going to leave us, and he's never going to forsake us. But at times, our hearts and our minds can become affected by the circumstances of life, can't they? We become cold, indifferent towards the Word of God. Love and remembrance, two strong emotions that human beings need in order to get through hard times and difficult circumstances. Love and remembrance. The psalmist says, hey, I love the Word of God, and I remember the Word of God, and therefore I'm going to go forward. Think about John the Apostle, and he wrote to the church at Ephesus. Jesus Christ was speaking to them. He says, hey, you've done a lot of good things in your church. You've done some great things, man. You've obeyed me and you've kept my commandments, but I've got a few things against you, church at Ephesus. He says, you've left your first love. The things that you used to do, the basic things that you used to do, you haven't done them anymore. You've left your first love. You know what his very next word to the church at Ephesus was? Remember. Remember. He said, remember from where you are fallen and go back and do the first works. How are you and I going to get through the hard times? Love and remembrance. Love and remembrance. Psalmist says in Psalm 103 and verse number 2, he says, forget not all his benefits. Because, hey, we have a tendency to forget, don't we? That's what you got to remember in your marriage. Hard times come. You run into difficult things. You know what you have to do to get through those difficult times? Love. Love and remembrance. You think about the good times and all the things that you've been through. And hey, you make it through those tough times, don't you? And that's what the psalmist is doing here. He says, man, I got some enemies against me. I got some problems in my life. And I'm going to love and remember the Word of God. It's implanted in my mind, and I can't help but just think about the Word of God. God's not always here to change our circumstances, but he's here with us in the midst of our affliction. How are you going to get through those times? Grace of God will help you. Love and remembrance of the Word of God should drive us to complete surrender of his Word. He says in verse number 94, I am thine. complete surrender to God. He says, since your word is established, since it's settled forever in heaven, I can't help but just go ahead and surrender myself to you completely. He says, I'm thine, O Lord, save me. What else do I have to hope in except for the word of God? And you, God, I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. Another couple of words there I want you to pay attention to. He says, I have sought thy precepts. I've looked, and I will consider thy testimonies. He realizes that he must trust God in these trying times. And he says, I have sought thy precepts and considered thy testimonies. He says, man, I know that there's tough times. I know that I have enemies against me. But guess what? I'm going to search the word of God. And I'm going to consider what God has to say. And I'm going to find out that God is faithful to his people, come what may. He says, I'm yours. Complete surrender. Completely and totally. The psalmist puts his life in the hands of God completely. Let me ask you something here this evening again. Does the veracity and the truthfulness of the Word of God drive you to surrender to God completely? You see it? You say, man, this is the truth of the Word of God, and God is faithful, and I'm going to submit myself completely to Him. The fact that it's settled in heaven, God is completely faithful, and it is certain. So therefore, I will commit myself completely to Him. I am thine, O Lord, come what may. We think about the ministry of Jesus Christ again. Do you know who the ones that were that completely surrendered themselves to Jesus Christ all the way? The ones that were completely convinced that Jesus Christ was who He said He was. That He was the Son of God. That He was the man come down from heaven. He was the Messiah. Skeptics, unbelievers, and dissenters went away from Jesus Christ because they did not believe the testimony of God. They went away. Jesus Christ went to them and He says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. But you will not come to me that you might have eternal life. They didn't believe the word of God. They didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. They were not fully convinced, and therefore they did not commit themselves to Him completely and totally. Did you know that Jesus Christ requires complete surrender to Him? You never find Jesus Christ saying, well, you can give me half of your heart. Well, give me half of your life. No, He says, complete surrender to me. Complete. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The scriptures say that we should love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. That is for us sitting here in this room today. That's who it's for. If we are Christians, that's who it's for. Complete surrender. Christian must be convinced that the word of God is settled and true, and that will drive us to complete submission to Him. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and that was their problem. They would not submit themselves to Christ completely. It says in verse number 91 that everything on earth belongs to the Lord, and we are His servants. Everything. We didn't make the earth. We have no right to it. God made the earth. We're just His servants. That's what we're here for. The people, the animals, the weather, we're all here to serve the Lord. What kind of purpose are you serving here on this earth? What kind of purpose am I serving? Have you come to the point in your life where you can say with the psalmist, hey, I'm yours, Lord, completely and totally? Or are you holding back? Saying, well, I really don't have to do that. No problem. That's not a Christian attitude. Hate to break it to you. Not at all. Complete surrender. Me as well. All of us. All of us. Doesn't matter how bad that the United States gets. Doesn't matter how bad people hate Christians in the United States. guess what? We're on the winning side. We're going to win in the end. You know what the Apostle Paul said to the Christians at Rome? He says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And you know who he was saying that to? People who were getting their heads cut off for being Christians. As an encouragement to them. And they had to just go on and go forward. They weren't dealing with people saying mean things about them on the internet. They were getting their heads cut off. We got it easy in America. Complete surrender. That's what the psalmist says. Hey, your word is settled in heaven. Complete surrender to you, God. Because, hey, we're fixing to pass this life. We're going to go and we're going to find God on the other side of this life. The word of God is eternal and unchanging. We can trust it. We can persevere in it. We can surrender because of it. We can do all of this because the word of God has no limits. It covers every area of life. If you don't get anything tonight, get verse number 96. He says, I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandments is exceeding broad. The psalmist looks at life with a skeptical, cynical, but truthful eye. He says, I've looked around and I see things that I thought were perfect, but they have an end. They're going to end. Did you know that everything is going to have an end? I don't care how perfect you think it is. Your life is going to end. I don't care how perfect your marriage is. I don't care how perfect your home life was. I don't care how perfect your Bible study is. It's all going to have an end. All of it. Except one thing. The Word of God. One thing. He says, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. It covers every area of life. It has no end. It's totally perfect, completely and totally perfect. So how do we get beyond the frustrating limits of this world? How do we do that? Because there's limits. How do we get beyond death? How do we get beyond sin? How do we get beyond the hurts that we have, the troubles that we have in life? How do we get beyond them? Because we're limited. All of us are limited. The Word of God. The Word of God. Why? Because it lasts forever. It's settled in heaven forever. This little life that we're in right now, hey, we're fixing to, if I could say it like this, we're fixing to transcend all of that. Because we're fixing to get a body that will never die, will never corrupt, will never sin, we can't get sick, all of those things. We're going to get that. You know why? Because God said so. The Word of God. The commandment of God. Jesus Christ said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Amen. It's eternal. The word of God is unchanging. It's eternal. How's that for comfort and hope in a world of death and novelty? It never changes. I don't care what happens in your life. I mean, I do care, but you know what I mean. No matter how bad it gets. No matter how bad the news gets tomorrow, word of God's there like a rock. I'm still saved. Still have eternal life. God hasn't forsaken me. And I'm going to keep on right on going because of the word of God. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for your word. We thank you that it is eternal. It's unchanging. We can put our trust in it. We can put our hope in it. No matter what happens, God, we can trust in your word and we can trust you. Lord, help us to remember these things. Help us not to forget. Lord, help the word, your word, implant it into our hearts, into our souls, into our minds. Help us to remember it in all things, Father. We'll thank you for it, Lord. We love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed, and we'll have a few verses of invitation. Maybe you'd like to come and pray.